Good morning. I'm Pastor Joel. As we all continue to figure out how to navigate these uncharted waters during the COVID-19 pandemic, the members of Namekagon Congregational UCC in Earl continue to practice social distancing, and we limit our gathering for our safety and our community safety. While we continue to worship together on Zoom, we also broadcast our message here on Muskie 101 every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., so those without computers or high-speed internet can join us. Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." In her book, The Great Emergence, historical theologian Phyllis Tickle studies the shifts in westernized Christianity that have taken place every 500 years or so, and each of these shifts leading to the reexamining of the core question, wherein now lies our authority? She and others consider our current age to be one of these times where the shifts in Christianity are being reshaped through engagement with that core question. It seems that we are in good company with Jesus in today's gospel. The story takes place just after the cleansing of the temple and the cursing of the fig tree, both challenging the current religious authority and opening the door to the dialogue we find in verses 23 through 32. The authorities here react in a way any religious authority, including us, would react given the circumstances, by challenging the question and the questioner. It's important to note that both Jesus and his challengers understand God as the ultimate authority. The question posed has to do with the legitimacy of the earthly means of interpreting that authority, and ultimately what the effect of all that is on the people whom God has created. The chief priest's first question, "By what authority are you doing these things?" is reasonable enough. Their own authority in Israel, after all, had been given to them by God in the time of Moses and passed down through generations. Jesus' questioning of them, shaped by the actions that precede this section and the parable that forms its conclusion, comes as a challenge to that traditionally held authority. The dialogue between Jesus and the chief priests and elders follows a typical rabbinic style, questions met with questions, that is intended to invite the readers, or initially the hearers, into their own consideration of an answer. It presents a conundrum for the chief priests and elders who did not recognize John the Baptist, and for whom a yes or no answer each have serious consequences. They're being challenged by an unanswerable question to confront the fact that they have refused to recognize messages and people sent by God. The final part of the reading, the parable of the two sons, is a metaphorical tale with a moral. Those same leaders are put in the place of providing an answer that undermines their own authority and implicitly recognizes the establishment of a new one. The two groups are not so much representative of the haves and the have-nots as they are of the fact that the chief priests and the elders have lost touch with both God and the people, while those whom they have identified as outsiders are the very ones who are speaking and living the truth. So what has this to do with us? As we talked about before, according to Tickle, we are living in the same dialogue. We are in a time when within our churches and across much of the Christian world, we are being challenged with the question of authority. This is not a question of denominational structures or local church structures for that matter, but a question of where we can best hear of, be embraced by, be liberated with, and be responsible to the God who created, redeemed, and sanctified us. We may miss the challenge of this passage if we simply interpret it as a call to go out to the highways and byways and find the outsiders of our day, as right as that is to do, and fail to see its challenge to us as individuals and communities of faith. Shane Hipps, in his book Selling Water by the River, has a wonderful quote that captures some of what is going on in this passage. He says, "Some, in an effort to protect and preserve the gospel message, have become like the guards in a museum, fueled by fear that its treasures could be damaged or stolen if they are not vigilant in their watch. They have mistaken the good news for an ancient artifact that needs to be protected. But that is not its nature. This kingdom is a lot more like a tree. God is looking for gardeners, not guards. A guard is trained in a defensive stance of fear and suspicion. A gardener is motivated by love and creativity." Perhaps this passage is challenging us to consider the ways we act as the second son. After all these years, we may be the ones who are confronted daily by fresh and sometimes strange voices who are calling for a kind of faithfulness that seems foreign to us. All around us, we, inheritors of a rich history, can hear the voice of Jesus in a strange cadence that perks up our ears while at the same time causing us discomfort. We desire a faithful response to God's call, but wind up as guards in a museum protecting a treasure. But there is also the possibility that we, as followers in the way of Jesus and as members of the church, may wind up like the first son, resisting the voice of God and refusing to follow, but eventually working as master gardeners in an ever-growing garden. Are we in need of fresh eyes and changed hearts in order to be faithful to the God revealed to us in Jesus? Should it be a constant challenge for us to follow a person who regularly confronted calcified authorities in order to bring about new birth? Given the age of Christianity and its identification with so much of society in the Western world, are we now in the position of the chief priests and elders? Have we become guards of an ancient treasure, or are we gardeners growing both heirloom plants and sturdy hybrids, and adapting as the garden grows? A quote from Richard Wright: "Ought one not surrender to authority even if one believed that the authority was wrong? If the answer was yes, then I knew that I would always be wrong because I could never do it. Then how could one live in a world in which one's mind and perceptions meant nothing and authority and tradition meant everything?" There were no answers. And Alexander Pope said, "A man should never be ashamed to own that he has been in the wrong. which is but saying, in other words, that he is wiser today than he was yesterday. Rudyard Kipling said, "Gardens are not made by singing, 'Oh, how beautiful,' and sitting in the shade." The reflection on today's scripture reminds me of a time years ago after I'd moved up to this area and started work. Right after graduating from seminary with my Master's of Divinity, and I worked with a gentleman who had a lot of theological disagreements with me. And on one hiking trip, he said to me, "How can you be a Christian and believe what you believe?" And I found that quite odd, slightly offensive, but I was curious at the same time about what he meant. And as we tried to have theological conversations on this hiking trail in South Dakota, a long trail with heavy packs, a 2-week hiking trip, he invited me to have lunch with his pastor, who had a PhD. I don't know what the PhD was in. But this man could not think for himself or defend or speak his theological beliefs. He could only parrot what his pastor had said because his pastor had a PhD. And this, my friends, is where we get into the personal faith questions. What is our belief, and how do we live that belief? How do we live out that belief or those beliefs? Are we just going to guard what people have told us is the right thing, is the tradition, is how it has been? Or are we the gardeners who can think for ourselves and interpret the living word of God into society today? Because the living word of God implies that it is a living word, that it changes with time. And if something changes with time, like a tree in the garden, it needs tending to, it needs care, it needs more water, less sunshine, more fertilizer, less sunshine, I don't know. But we are challenged through the scripture reading today to make sure that we are not like the priests in today's scripture reading. That we can recognize the true beauty in the message of Jesus Christ. The true message that says that we are to love all people unconditionally. That we are to accept people for who they are. That we are to treat others like we would expect to be treated. The golden rule. Where has that gone? The word evangelical has been hijacked by a movement that has created a negative connotation to what it means to be an evangelical Christian. An evangelical Christian used to mean to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And now that term, and groups who utilize that term, use it for hate and degradation, in a claim that they are protecting, they are guarding this history of our faith and religion. But this passage shows that we are called not to be guards, but we are called to be gardeners. Friends, we need to be more loving of each other. We need to gain that respect for each other. Whether we agree with each other or disagree, we are to love one another. And when we love one another and actually care for somebody, and not just pretend, But when we actually care for somebody, we will treat each other better and with more respect and actually live out the real message in the New Testament. The real message that Jesus Christ has asked us, demanded of us, through parables and through his discussions with the priests of his time. We have been commanded to show that love. And as a society, that is not what we are currently doing. There is hope in this message because, as the first son first said, "No, Dad, I am not going to go work in the vineyard." He thought about it and changed his mind and listened to his father and went and worked in the vineyard. May we be like the first son in the parable today. Let's not be like the priests in the scripture reading today, but like the first son. We may have made a mistake. We may have regressed. But let's see the error of our ways and get back to being master gardeners and not guards. From the members of the Namekagon UCC in Earle, may you have a safe and blessed week. Tune in next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another message. And when we begin to meet in person for worship again, I hope you'll consider joining us. The United Church of Christ, a just world for all.